Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of NFL Fantasy Matchup. And today I am once again with my co-host, Jed Lamb. Jed, good morning.
Good morning, brother.
And today we actually have a wonderful guest, someone we hope will be able to join us every single Monday to talk about the latest injuries, Dr. Shadid of Genesis Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. Doing very, very well. Thank you. I hope you are as well. No injuries for anybody this morning.
Sir, I know you are a huge fan of fantasy sports. And so every single Monday, we want to bring you in to highlight a couple of injuries that we want to talk about. But for you, are there a couple of injuries that stood out from yesterday's games?
So trying to think through, I don't know that we've had any serious ones in yesterday's games. There may have been an Achilles tendon tear and possibly an ACL. So we'll have a lot more information on those things, hopefully after some diagnostics are done today.
That's exactly what you brought up. Exactly one of the ones we wanted to talk about, Dr. Shadid. Marlon Mack, they had a supposed torn Achilles or partial tear, and it was a non-contact injury. And originally they were saying he could be out for, you know, the season, and then they kind of backtracked. We were just wondering, maybe you could tell us a little bit about Achilles injuries and kind of how long those things take to usually take to heal.
Sure. An Achilles injury can sometimes be as little as a week, depending on if it's just a tiny minor strain versus a complete rupture on the other end of it, which can be a season-ending injury for some guys. And the critical component is once an Achilles is injured, it's a little bit at risk of a re-injury. And so a professional athlete needs to make sure that they've fully recovered from those. And that's going to be the critical element for him, in this overall. But hopefully, if it is a partial tear and it's just a strain, it might be something that he'll be out for a week. But it could be something significantly longer, depending on whether they get the MRI this morning and where that goes.
Got it. Dr. Shadid, we see a lot of players right now struggling with hamstring injuries. There are some players that are able to play, but there are some like Devontae Parker who was not able to play and had to leave. What's the difference? Why are there so many hamstring injuries during this time? And why are some players able to play and some not able to play?
Well, it all depends on the severity of the injury. No two hamstring injuries are exactly alike. You know, there's thousands of muscle fibers that go down and make up the three major muscles of a hamstring. And depending on the severity of that injury, it might dictate when they might be able to recover and get back to play. Sometimes we'll see a player get back to earth as early as 2 weeks in a very minor strain. If they get into some therapy, get some early treatment, and get going and keep the mobility there. But in other cases, in a severe one, they could be out for a whole season. A lot of these athletes have very well-developed hamstring muscles, and it is the largest muscle group in the whole body. And if that injury is severe enough, it can be a significant compromise to their ability to run and sprint, you know, overall. And in some cases, we see them as season-ending injuries, but most of the time they recover. The biggest thing is just the risk of re-injury. And that's the critical element with these hamstring deals, is that there can be up as high as six times likelihood that they might re-injure that hamstring.
Yeah. Jed, I know you wanted to ask him about Kyle Van Der Vosch.
I wanted to ask about Leighton Van Der Esch, the linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. They said he had a fractured collarbone. And in my mind, I thought, boy, you'd be out for the season with a fractured collarbone. But they're saying he could actually play again this season. So wondered your thoughts on that.
Well, if it is a fracture, it could be a tiny avulsion. A tiny avulsion would be just a ligament that tore off sometimes that can pull a little sliver of bone with it. And if the rest of the joint where it connects, you know, to the acromion, if that's intact, it's reasonable that they might be able to get back in a few weeks once that ligament heals back. But a lot of it just depends, again, on the severity of that.
Okay.
Yeah, we saw Dr. Shadid, Blake Jarwin last night suffer a torn ACL. It looks like he's out for the season now.
Yeah.
And then also, were there any players for you that you were watching specifically that impressed you yesterday?
Well, of course, you know, the Bears game is always, for those of us here in Chicago, we kind of feel like we dodged a bullet there yesterday, didn't we?
We did. Well, hey, Dr. Shidi, thank you so much for coming on every single week. I know you're at another location right now. We're going to coordinate it, and every single month, every single week, we're hoping for you to join us on Mondays.
This is really going to look forward to it. It's kind of fun to do this and to get to know you guys and get to know our fans and the rest of it. So it's a fun thing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. And thank you to Genesis Orthopedics for their support of this program. You could go for more information at genesisortho.com. That's genesisortho.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Shadid.
All righty. Take care.
Talk soon. Hey, Jen, it was a busy. I hope that you guys enjoyed this segment. So we're hoping Friday we had Jimmy on to concentrate just on rookies. On Monday, we hope to bring in Dr. Shadid just to look at the injuries and provide some of his medical expertise. But man, yesterday was a busy day. Jed, what was some of the thoughts that you had yesterday?
Oh man, what a blast. It was so fun to have football back and to be watching football. I don't know about you, but I was in front of the TV the whole day and just loved it. My poor wife, she was like, when are you going to come out of that zone? So I was having a really good time. But yeah, I thought some of the big surprises, I was just saying Jacksonville, you know, I've been down on Jacksonville. Yeah. I'm telling you guys to avoid drafting those guys. But man, Minshew Gardner came through. Yes. And they beat the Colts. You know, Las Vegas took a beating on that game. I mean, that was a surprise. And on the flip side, you know, for the Colts, I'm really up on the Colts and was really disappointed in Philip Rivers' performance. I mean, two interceptions just did not look so good. And then, of course, they had the Marlon Mack injury, too. So, you know, again, it's week one. You got to be a little careful and don't go too far in your evaluation. Stick to what you were studying and evaluating and see what happens. But that was a big surprise for me.
Yeah. And another one, I would love your thoughts on some of these players. Look at some of these players that had Adrian Peterson, 14 carries for 93 yards. I can't believe he got Kerryon Johnson. I didn't see him very much. It was all Adrian Peterson. Now, with DeAndre Swift, with that drop in the end zone to win the game. But for the most part, it was Adrian Peterson all day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously the Bears game, as Dr. Shadid said, I mean, if you're a Bears fan, what a win. Really escaped and just snuck out with one. But yeah, the big thing in terms of waiver wire pickups is Adrian Peterson is the guy to own. I mean, he took over. Now, remember, Kerryon Johnson actually started, but then Peterson out-touched him by 3-1 margin and really outproduced him. So I think the guy to own here is Adrian Peterson. He got the goal line looks as well. Swift was still involved, though, so I was impressed at that. And so I think you still have to have the same thought about Swift that he could take over by the second half of the season.
Oh my gosh. And a lot of times, as we were talking about, Kerryon Johnson will continue to disappear and you're going to see Swift and Adrian Peterson.
Yep, exactly. And that's what we got a little bit more info for all of these rookies. The other one was J.K. Dobbins out in Baltimore. Yep. I was surprised at how involved he was. He really had a lot more carries and key carries, important carries for the Ravens. And so I thought that was a surprise.
Oh my gosh. And the touchdowns, the two touchdowns that he has, and Marquise Brown also with the Baltimore game, seems like he is going to do really well this
year. Oh man, Marquise Brown really lit it up. I was impressed with that. And of course, my guy, Mark Andrews, I've been putting him up saying he could be number one. And George Kittle's had a down week. And so, man, Mark Andrews looked good with the two TDs.
Hey, speaking of tight ends, Philadelphia, you had Zach Ertz, but man, Dallas Goedert, 8 catches, 101 yards, 1 touchdown. I was surprised.
Yeah, that was huge. I thought that was a really big thing. You know, we've been talking about Philadelphia's offensive line woes, and you really saw that. Washington came back, sacked Wentz 8 times. But, man, the tight ends, their two tight ends set really played out. And actually, here's the big thing. I think you're right. I think Dallas Goedert actually might have the better season than Zach Ertz. That's a huge change. And so it's something you want to pay attention to. Definitely a waiver wire pickup.
Now, would you say a lot of times, would you wait or would you definitely pick him up because there were all the wide receivers were injured or didn't do well? Rieger didn't do well. Deshaun Jackson didn't do well. Alshon Jeffrey was out. Is it more because of they were out, or do you think Dallas Goedert really will do pretty decently this year?
Well, like as I mentioned, you know, they have this two tight end offensive set, so they're definitely sold in on their tight ends. There's no question there's going to be a tight end who produces in Philadelphia. It's a question of who, and or could there be two tight ends a la New England back in the day that both have big seasons? And so for me, if you're weak at the tight end position, I would not wait on going out to pick up one of these tight ends that you saw hit. And Dallas Goedert is one of them. We can also talk about TJ Hockenson with Detroit. He looked great. Jared Cook in New Orleans, and even Hunter Henry too. They all looked great and would be good pickups.
I like to brag, Chad, that TJ Hockenson is on almost all my teams.
Yes. Hey, man, that was one that we called. Actually, I want to go back to our tapes because, you know, there are some calls we made that really played out. And Hockenson, I thought, was one of them. I've been pushing Chris Carson big time in Seattle. Yeah. Man, he paid out if you were listening.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, look at the Seattle brand. Chris Carson, I'm looking at his numbers, had six for 21 yards rushes, but six receptions for 45 yards, but two touchdowns as well, too. Compared that to Carlos Hyde, also at seven carries, but 23 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still a little worried about Carlos Hyde. He's going to get more play. But the big thing in Seattle is, man, they opened the offense up. That's what they've been – everyone's been wanting them to let Wilson take over. He did. And the good news for Chris Carson is he was heavily involved in the passing game. And so he really showed that he could handle the passing game, had those six catches, had two touchdown receptions. Man, really good looking forward to me. I think if you're on the Seattle train, you got to feel really good.
And also the very fact is DK Metcalf will do a lot better than Lockett will.
Oh, yeah. Metcalf is another guy we talked about. Man, what a monster. But you know what? They both had great games. And here's the thing. If Seattle's really going to go more heavy with their offensive passing, that's just going to raise the boat for both. So I think both are in a really good position.
Greg Olsen, is he someone that you're looking at him to pick up?
Yeah, exactly. It's a perfect, you know, you had talked about Olsen. I was down on him. I thought he was past, you know, past his prime. But again, if the offense is going to stay at this level of passing, definitely another person you should be taking a look at.
Yeah. Another guy I love your thoughts on, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones. Calvin Ridley was 9 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. But Julio, 9 catches, 151 yards. But again, zero touchdowns.
Yes, zero touchdowns. I knew you were going to hit that. We've been talking about all year. Is this the year that Ridley takes over for Julio Jones? The baton has passed, so to speak. I thought you saw a little bit of that. But, with Julio, you got to be happy with 9 receptions. I mean, 9 receptions for 151. If you had him in your fantasy, he produced. You got to be happy with that. And so, you know, we got to see with Atlanta. The volume passing is there, but I'm still really high on Ridley. I just had someone asking me if we can count on Ridley as a number one now. I feel like he's trending that way, so his numbers are looking good.
This morning, if you have Julio Jones on your team, would you try to trade him?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. If I have Julio and or Ridley, and you want to potentially bank on Ridley and trade Julio, I think that's a move to consider. But I do think this isn't a mirage. I think Julio is going to keep producing. It's if he can get this many catches, it's fine, even if he doesn't get the touchdowns.
Yeah. Buffalo, let's switch over to Buffalo. Love to get your thoughts on it. Devin Singletary, Josh Allen, Zach Moss. Devin Singletary had 9 rushes, 30 yards. Zach Moss also had 9 rushes, 11 yards. Josh Allen, 14 rushes, 57 yards, 1 touchdown. Thoughts on the running back situation?
Yeah, you know, again, if you were listening, man, we were up on Zach Moss and warned that he would get the goal line carries, and it played out. So while the production was similar, Moss was the guy in the key scoring situations that they were leaning on. I still think Moss is the guy to own between the two of those. If anyone is not paying attention in your league, hook up on Moss or go after Moss, make a trade over Singletary. I think he's the guy to own. But man, Buffalo was another big surprise. Josh Allen, I've been saying I didn't think he's a top 10 quarterback, at least for week one. He proved me wrong because he looked good. His points were solid. He had 312 passing yards. That's a career high for him, so it shows that they're trusting him more with the passing game. But of course, the key were his carries. He had 12 carries for 59 yards and a touchdown, but he did have 2 fumbles, Tommy, so you got to pay attention there. But still, I got to admit, I've been down on Josh Allen, and at least in week one, I was wrong there.
Yes. Any other players stood out for you?
I was really happy with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Again, that was one that I was promoting all season, that I felt like they would have a great connection. And man, did it play out. Hopkins going 14 catches for 151 yards. That's a career high for him. 14 receptions just showed they had an immediate connection and rapport. I was really happy with that. And man, they beat San Francisco. We've been warning you about San Francisco, maybe a Super Bowl hangover. And, you know, I think that's what came out. The one thing that for me stood out for San Francisco, though, is Raheem Mostert is the real deal, man. He had 19 carries for 151 yards and a touchdown. That was pretty impressive.
Raheem Mostert did really, really well. And so I'm the type of guy, I would probably trade him since he's so high, because I probably could get a couple good players for him.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, I think this could be something that sustains. You just got to see. I mean, 49ers didn't have a lot of their wide receivers, so maybe they leaned heavier on the run game. That's the one concern you have. But I also feel like, you know, their run game was really strong. And again, you know, it's hard to count on Jimmy Garoppolo. And so I feel like if they continue leaning on the running game, Mostert might be the guy to own for the rest of the season.
Hey, speaking, going back to Arizona, you were talking about Chase Edmonds, nine rushes, 45 yards. Would you even look at him on the waiver wire?
You know, I wouldn't. I was actually, the disappointment there was Kenyon Drake. I've been pushing Kenyon Drake as well. He didn't have a great game, saved it with a touchdown at the end. If he didn't have that touchdown, it would have been a really bad week. And so that's why I think with Edmonds too, just not enough at this point in terms of the running game. But we'll see. I think that's a wait and see.
Because a lot of times you also have to ask, San Francisco is a very, very good defense against the run. Was it because of Kenyon Drake outrushed them and obliterated them in the first two meetings? And so they probably had motivation to stop him on this one.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect analysis, Tommy. You got to pay attention to the defenses on some of these. You know, if you're really down on what happened, you got to pay attention to the defense. A big one for me was Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas had a horrible outing for New Orleans. But remember, Tampa Bay's defense looked pretty darn good. And so I wouldn't get too down on them. If you have an owner who's down on Michael Thomas, swoop in and trade for him now, because good pickup.
After a game, a lot of people may be down on the player that was so much hype, and if they're not paying attention, you got to just throw out those trade offers and see which ones bite.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Michael Thomas in New Orleans, I don't expect any downturn for Drew Brees and the Saints. They looked sharp, actually. I thought they really took apart Tampa Bay after initial touchdown by Tom Brady. And so if you can get a hold of Michael Thomas, I would go all in on that.
So there's Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, you're picking up as a tight end. Yeah. Anyone else stand out in New Orleans?
Actually, not in New Orleans. For me, was on the other side with Tampa Bay. The guy that I really liked, it was Scotty Miller. He's the slot wide receiver for Tampa Bay. Had six receptions for 73 yards. He was second in volume behind Chris Godwin. And really, you could just see Tom Brady likes those little scat backs coming out. It's like a Julian Edelman clone. I think Scotty Miller is the one to potentially target out of Tampa Bay.
Now, at the same time, do you think a lot of times he'll do well because Mike Evans was struggling with his hamstring? Or is he someone, if you have a high waiver pick, would you pick him?
Yeah, I mean, we were going to talk about waiver wire pickups. I have him as one to look out for. I mean, when you say high waiver pick, I mean, it's like I wouldn't probably spend more than $10 on this guy, but he's worth a $10, auction to try to pick up or get a hold of Scotty Miller. I do think the volume's going to be there. Tampa Bay, I think they showed they lost the game. You know, they're going to be in and out of games, so they're going to be having to throw the ball a lot. I think Brady's going to continue to get more comfortable. Brady had some great throws. It was an up and down game for him, but I do think the volume's going to be there. And remember, they love to throw the ball in Tampa Bay.
But everyone's so critical that Brady had a bad game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the pundits are out, you know, saying Brady made a mistake. He shouldn't have left. I think it's too early to tell. I mean, again, I was impressed with the defense. I thought the defense played really well. Also, Rojo, you know, Ronald Jones, let's talk about that. Everyone was talking about Leonard Fournette coming in, but man, Rojo had the show. And so if you're talking about the backs to own out of Tampa, it's Rojo. He's the guy that was the man there. But I think, you know, you got to give Brady more than just 1 week. I mean, this is a season-long thing, and I think he'll be fine.
Yep. Now, at the same time, I believe that eventually Ronald Jones will take a back seat to Leonard Fournette. I think a lot of times as time goes on, Gronkowski will actually be better, because look at OJ Howard. He got a touchdown yesterday. So I think we still don't know.
Yeah, we talked about Howard, and we warned you guys about Howard versus Gronk, that Howard actually is the featured tight end, and you saw that play out. He was the featured tight end, and so I would be careful with Gronk. You know, he had a couple catches in there, but he didn't look great, in my opinion. But you could tell Brady was trying to get it to him, so we'll see how it plays out.
Jed, Le'Veon Bell, running back for New York Jets. I'm going to do everything I can to trade that guy.
Oh, I hope you didn't have him. If you hadn't been listening to us all preseason, we said don't pick up this guy. Avoid the Jets. And it sure played out, man. He does not look good, and that hamstring injury does not look good.
If you could find someone to grab him from name alone, trade him.
No, I would drop the guy. For me, I mean, I just don't think the production is there. I think the Jets, you know, we'll see. You know, the only Jet I would consider owning is a wide receiver, a Crowder. Crowder had a nice over 100-yard game. That's about it. I mean, I don't think there's a lot I'd want to own with the Jets.
Yeah. Hey, a couple more players as well, too. Cincinnati team, what did you think about Burroughs, AJ Green, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon?
Yeah, that one played out too. I've been warning people about Joe Mixon was not confident in what was happening, and man, it played out. Mixon did not look good. Joe Burrow had a decent game. He saved his fantasy thing with the touchdown run, but you know, it wasn't a great start for them. And so, you know, it's a rookie, so you gotta wait and give them a little bit of time. But I've been down on Mixon, and I think this played out a little bit.
Yeah. Now, at the end of the day, you have to look at the Chargers. They have a very, very good defense a lot of times. AJ Green did come back for 5 catches at 51 yards. So that was okay. I'm interested. Burroughs didn't do so bad. I thought he did pretty decently for a first-year quarterback.
Yes, he definitely had poise. He definitely looked like he belonged. Did not look like he was flustered. And so on that aspect, I totally agree with you. I have him on a couple teams. I'm still holding him. I'm not dropping him. I'm really playing for the back half of the season with this guy as opposed to the beginning.
Yep. Hey, are there any other players before we go to waiver wire pickups?
Well, yeah, actually, let me see. We got this. We didn't talk about the Raiders offense. Las Vegas Raiders, Josh Jacobs, 93 yards and 3 touchdowns. Again, I was holding out with the Raiders, wasn't sure how they would play out. And we also saw Henry Ruggs had a couple nice deep catches, 53 yards on 1 catch. So, you know, the Vegas offense might be more than I was expecting. And so Josh Jacobs, if you picked him up in the back half of that first round, you may have a top 5 pick on your hands because he looked pretty good.
Okay, I picked up Bryan Edwards in a lot of my leagues. Did not do well.
Yeah, but didn't he get hurt? I thought he like got a little bit hurt because he didn't put out with the stats.
Ruggs, let's see how well he had to go out for a little bit, and so let's see how he comes out from the medical report. Dustin Waller, I didn't think that he did the best. He did okay.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't plan out as well. And again, there were so many tight ends you could be paying attention to. But again, I would hold on that. Now, Josh Jacobs is an interesting one. And I don't know what you think about this, Tom. Do you think he's a trade target or do you think he's one that you want to trade now at his high point because he had the 3 touchdowns?
Hey, look, I'm trying to trade Hilaire right now, okay? I'm trading anyone.
Wow, you're trading Hilaire. So you don't think he's going to produce for the rest of the season?
No, I think he'll produce. I love trading people at the top of their value. Now, that's my strategy every single time, is I could probably get 2 or 3 and suddenly solidify all my weak areas on my team.
Yeah, that's a pretty good strategy, especially with Hilaire. People are going to be high on it. I am. I mean, I was really impressed. I think he's definitely someone to own for the rest of the year, so not a bad strategy at all.
That's why I got my wife to offer that trade package.
Yeah, you tried to get me with that Hilaire. I told you to hold off on that. That was a good offer. We're going to go to waiver wire pickups.
Yep, let's go that real fast. And give me a couple waiver wire pickups for you.
Yeah, so the number one I want to point out is...
Let me guess.
Okay.
Mitch Trubisky.
Good
Mitch way. Trubisky.
No way. You know what? If we want to talk about Trubisky, let me just say this. Okay, he saved his game in the fourth quarter, had an amazing fourth quarter, 3 touchdowns. I mean, you got to give it to the guy. That was impressive. But let me tell you this. If you look at his completions, not the ones he missed, but his completions, they were horrible completions. Every throw did not put the receiver in the position to catch it and run. They had to adjust to a bad throw and make the catch. That's the problem with Mitch. He's not accurate. And so I personally, even though they won, I think he bought himself a couple more games, but I think the change to Foles is just inevitable. They're going to have to make that switch eventually.
But Jimmy Graham got you 2 touchdowns and Anthony Miller got you a touchdown.
Oh, man, the Jimmy Graham sighting, that was surprising, man. He came out of nowhere. I don't think anyone expected that. I was going to say, if anyone has a question, if this is a guy to look at for a waiver wire pickup, I'm going to say no. But he's someone to pay attention to. It was a surprise to see him as involved as he would, as he was. The other one is David Montgomery. Montgomery was heavily involved. The Bears showed a commitment to him. I thought that was a good sign if you have Montgomery. And if you got him late, someone to keep holding on to.
And would you think a lot of people got him late because a lot of times they thought he was going to be out for the first 4 weeks?
Yep.
No one picked him up.
Yep, exactly. So I think both Montgomery and Mostert actually were late pickups in most drafts. And so if you got them late, you probably got a starter that you can now hold on to as a, you know, like an RB2. And you probably got him cheap, so it paid out for you.
Yep. Sorry, I interrupted you. Who was your number one?
No worries at all. My number one is with the Marlon Mack injury. You know, everyone's talking about obviously Jonathan Taylor. Taylor had looked good, had a good you know, output there. But Nyheim Hines, I don't even know if that's how you pronounce his first name, running back Colts. He had 20 carries to Jonathan Taylor's 21. So they actually split carries. He ended up with 28 yards for 1 touchdown and 8 catches for 45 yards. So for you PPR guys, Hines is the guy out of the Colts. I would spend up to $35, maybe even $40 for this guy on the waiver wire. I think he's going to be a solid, solid pickup.
We tend to play most of all of our fantasy on Yahoo. In Yahoo, he's 18% rostered. And so he is pretty much on a lot of waiver wires. And especially if you have the number one waiver wire pick, please go grab him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, and for number one waiver wire picks, I'm usually going to go with running backs because running backs are so hard to get a hold of. And man, this guy, I think he's going to produce. If you didn't listen to us last week, James Robinson on the Jaguars had a decent game. Like I think he had 61 yards, 9 carries, but still the production was there. And as I said, the Jaguars were a surprise. So I think James Robinson is another target. And then we talked about Adrian Peterson. If he's somehow sitting on your waiver wire, another guy to go out and pick up.
Chet, I have a dilemma. I actually had I have waiver wire priority one, right? Mm-hmm. I have Nyheim Hines and Malcolm Brown sitting there. Who'd you pick?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Brown was a surprise as well. Everyone was not expecting the split with the carries. I'm going with Hines. You know, I think that the production is there. I do think the Colts, you know, there was a surprise with Phillip Rivers. He passed to the Colts 41% of his passes, which is a huge surprise. It shows how much they're going to hold the running backs into the passing game. And again, if you're in a PPR league, that's just extra bonus money. And so I think Hines looked great there. Of those two guys, I would go with Hines.
Really? Over Malcolm Brown? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now Phillip Rivers always does good. He always loves throwing to running backs. Wide receivers? My wide receivers for Indianapolis didn't do it as well as I wanted them to.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking for a bounce back from the Colts. Again, as I said, I think sometimes in week one, even week two, it takes a little while for teams to get going. I think the Colts are better than they showed on Sunday. And so I'm looking for them to turn things around a little bit. And if you can get a hold of someone and a part of that offense, it's something I would try to do.
Okay. So, look, Jet, let me ask you. I have a trade scenario. Someone offered me a trade. Should I remind me who the starting wide receiver for the Colts is?
Hilton, T.Y. Hilton?
Yes. They offer me, I have T.Y. Hilton, DJ Chark, and J.K. Dobbins. All right? And so they offer me Raheem Mostert, and there was another one, Devontae Parker.
Raheem Mostert and Devontae Parker for?
DJ Chark, T.Y. Hilton, and J.K. Dobbins.
Oh, that's interesting. I like the Mostert. I mean, but you know, I know at this point in the season, I'm holding on to Dobbins because I think Dobbins is going to pay out. And we don't know with Mostert, there's a little bit of, you know, up in the air about what's going to happen there. I think I would hold on to Dobbins. I don't think I'd want to give him up. That's the guy that I like out of that group.
Got it. Hey, what about Robbie Anderson over at Carolina?
Yeah, surprise. You know how much rapport he had there. That was a good rapport that he showed with Bridgewater. And so that was interesting. You know, if you have McCaffrey, I'm going to say this. I've got McCaffrey in one league, and man, I was disappointed. The new offensive plan did not feature him as much as I wanted. He saved the day with the 2 touchdowns, but only at 93 yards. And we got to just see how that plays out. But yeah, Robbie Anderson, good rapport. If he's sitting on your waiver wire, go after the guy. I mean, he's the number one there at the wide receiver position, and so someone you can definitely target.
Would you also drop Tom Brady and pick up Cam Newton if he's on the way?
Oh, man, Newton. Yeah, Newton was a great revelation. So, you know, we've been wondering all season, which running back do you want to own in New England? And the answer is Cam Newton because he looked great. I mean, the two touchdown runs were really solid. We got to see. They got a tough matchup with Seattle next Sunday. So we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, I think Cam Newton definitely has an opportunity to creep into the top 15, maybe even top 10. I mean, if these quarterbacks, it's just like Josh Allen of Buffalo. If they can run the ball, it's just amazing how that boosts their production. And so with Cam Newton, if he's doing it like that, you're going to be doing really well with him.
But you avoided my question. Would you pick him up over Tom Brady?
Well, I would. I told you, I've been down on Brady. I mean, I think maybe top 10. I mean, you know what? They're similar value. I would say they're similar value. And again, I personally, I don't like making too many moves the first 2 weeks because I feel like it's just a little bit of a mirage with what's happening. You don't feel the trends until really week three. So personally, yeah, I might hold. If I had Brady, I would probably hold on to him at this point.
Interesting. Okay. Hey, Joshua Kelly from L.A., seems like he's doing well over Justin Jackson and has replaced him. 12
yes.
rushing attempts, 60 yards, one touchdown.
Yes, that was a surprise. You know, Kelly, everyone was talking about Justin. And so Kelly's the one that played out. Agree. You know, he might be someone, again, depending on your league, who you could take a look at and potentially target on the waiver wire. Another one I will mention, you know, actually back to the Colts is Paris Campbell. I know we're down on the Colts in their passing game, but Campbell had 6 for 9 for 71 yards, showed good rapport with Philip Rivers, and you know what? T.Y. Hilton, as we said, was a little bit down, so it might be a little bit of the passing of the baton here. Campbell might actually end up being the guy you want out of that wide receiver core.
Another one that surprised me, Washington team, Peyton Barber, 17 carries, 2 touchdowns. What's going on there?
Yeah, Washington, I think, was a bit of a surprise. People were not expecting this team. I mean, that was a great comeback to be down 17-0, come back and win. I'm going to say on Peyton Barber, though, I'm going to say that's a mirage. I'm going to say don't jump on that one. I didn't add him to my waiver wire pickup list. I think that was just there's these fluky things that happen week to week in the NFL. I think that was one of them.
Logan Thomas, are you taking a look at him, a tight end for the Washington team? 4 catches, 37 yards, if you're looking for a tight end.
No, I'm not. I'm not on the Haskins train. I don't think I'm going to be looking to their passing game. And there are so many good wide tight ends that we talked about. TJ Hockenson, Jared Cook, Hunter Henry. Those are all guys. OJ Howard, those are all guys that I would want to target ahead of him.
Yeah. You also talked about your love for Scotty Miller. How I bet you has Jed Lamb name picking up Scotty Miller all day.
Yeah. I've been looking at that because, you know, it's with the PPR leagues, it's the volume passing and the short passing game for slot wide receivers. You can get a lot of volume there. So I like Scotty Miller a lot.
For me, also another one that on my waiver pickup list, we were looking at Green Bay wide receiver Scantling, 4 catches, 96 yards, 1 touchdown, seems to be emerging as a second wide receiver.
Yeah, Allen Lazard had a good game as well, so we're still kind of a back and forth there. The big thing with that one is that there was a lot of volume for Green Bay, so they had a lot of passing. Really, the surprise was Minnesota defense was as bad as it was. So, but I agree with you, you know, Scantling is something to take a look at and just see if he can play out as the number two there.
Jed, I had Aaron Rodgers in 2 of my 4 teams.
Nice.
Nobody picked him up. I picked him up in like the 10th or 11th round.
Yeah, he looked really good, was really sharp. You could tell he was on his game right from the beginning. As we talked about, you know, he's got a big chip on his shoulder this season. And if you got him late, man, just ride that because he looked really good and could be a definitely top 10, maybe even higher.
Yeah. Time's running out. Any other waiver pickups on your list?
No, that's it for me. I hope you guys enjoyed that first week. I was really excited. Again, pay a lot of attention these first 2 weeks. You know, with the waiver wire, especially, this is a lot of times when you can get some really good players that can set you up for the rest of the season. So I hope we can help out with that.
And the one thing I would probably say is I love trades. I would even trade for Devontae Parker. Some people were probably down on Devontae Parker and Jordan Howard. If you also have Odell Beckham, Jed, I dump him. I trade.
Yeah, Odell Beckham. Again, we warned you about that. But you know what? The Browns, I think, had a tough matchup. Baltimore Ravens looked really good. And so, you know, hold on to that. I mean, Landry, I had Landry on a couple teams. And so I'm still waiting to see what happens there. I think in the run game for the Browns is fine. I think you'll be fine with both Hunt or Chubb. I think they look good. But, yeah, I agree with you. If you know.
Chubb struggled. I can't believe it. All they were giving all these carries to Kareem Hunt versus Chubb's. But at the same time, we were wondering about that as well, too.
Yeah, but you got to see. I mean, they were playing the Ravens. The Ravens D was looking sharp. I mean, they had to go to more of the passing game. I think that's why Hunt was more involved. But just see how it plays out. I mean, give it more than 1 week, and you know, we'll see how everything plays out.
Beckham is all talk, everything, always more hype than anything else. I can't.
I totally agree with you on Devontae Parker, though. I've been high on him. I was surprised at how low he was drafted in most drafts. The volume is there. He was hurt, so you got to pay a little bit of attention to that. But, man, I still think the volume could be there in Miami and someone to target.
Hey, last question before I know you have to run. Mm-hmm. The Dallas game, the Sunday night game. What did you learn about the Dallas wide receivers?
Oh, that was really disappointing, the Dallas game. You know, the passing game was just not there. It was all about Zeke Elliott. If you got Zeke Elliott, we had mentioned him maybe going number two. He looked great with the two touchdowns and was eating it up and really carrying the Dallas offense. For any of the wide receivers on the Cowboys, I think it was a disappointment. I mean, Prescott did not look sharp. Let's just see how that plays out, though. You know, it wasn't the easiest game for them, but we'll see.
Yep. And last thing, everyone, is just in case you need a defense and your defense was terrible, the Washington team with 8 sacks. Now, it was against a bad team, but still, Chase Young, Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio, that's a great combination right there.
Exactly. I think people forgot how good Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera are on defense. And yeah, Chase Young looked like the real deal. So I totally agree with you there. And actually, for me, I'm dropping Minnesota and heading to Washington for my defense to try to pick them up.
That means for everyone, I will be picking Washington for my defense.
Totally agreed.
Hey, for more information, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at fantasymatchup.nfl. That's fantasymatchup.nfl. I bet you will be watching 2 Monday night games today, right, Jed?
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing what happens.
All right. We'll see you on Friday, everyone.